Lynx is Genesis 1 warrior.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
If you'll turn over to the next chapter with me.
Verse 18, this is Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord said, "It is not good that man be alone, or for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Or it says in the margin, "I will make him a helper corresponding to him." Praise God. And out of the earth the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. All things came from the earth, even man. And he brought them to man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the sky, and every beast of the field. But for Ish, there was not found a helper corresponding to him. But for man, for Adam, for Ishel, there was not found a helper corresponding to him. So, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the man and the Lord God built into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man. And the Lord brought her to the man. Praise God. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bone, and this is flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called Isha, because she was taken out of Ish. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Let's turn to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. Brothers and sisters, will you turn with me to John 3?
verse 15 and 16.
That whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord.
Verse 29.
I'm going to read it just the way I feel it. He who's got the blood is the groom. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. Praise the Lord. Lord, there are some things that we're not worthy to even look. We really open our being to you tonight. Deal with us spiritually as we deal with the spirituals. Open ears that are not in our head. Open eyes that are not on our face. Open our inmost being to comprehend what cannot be comprehended. We must not be like Nicodemus, who could not even understand the earth with it. We must be like those who can understand the Hebamer. I ask that you will be very merciful to me and be very merciful to my brothers and to my sisters. Give us a revelation. And hard on that revelation, give us an experience. Amen. Praise God. There isn't anything that I will say tonight that you will understand. At least you will not be able to understand it with your mind. There's not anything that I'm going to speak about tonight that I can say that I understand with my mind. For the Lord is spirit, and he is understood only by the spirit. And there are spiritual truths to be said tonight that deal exclusively with the spirit. And yet God in his effort to explain them, spoke in the only terms that we could understand, and that was human terms. Therefore, I will also speak in human terms, but they still must be understood in the realm of that which is unseen. These verses are all beginning verses, but they all begin with time. Nonetheless, the Lord has, in the Scripture, given us along the way indications of what was in him before time. The Scripture starts off in the beginning. Now you know, and I know, that in the beginning is in the beginning of time, and in the beginning of creation, in the beginning of atoms and electrons and protons. But there was before the beginning, because God always was. There never was when God was not. So he preceded the beginning. Now, though we have done this a few times in the past, we will also do it more in the future, and we will do it tonight. I have to ask you to join with me in asking the question, what was before the beginning? Well, there was only one thing before the beginning, and that was God. I didn't look at God. I cannot comprehend him. I can come closer to anything else in all of creation to comprehend him. I can comprehend him better than an angel can. Because an angel was not made with God's disposition. I was made a type of the very disposition and emotion and feeling and outlook of God. I have some small understanding of him because I have a picture of his nature. I don't have his nature, but I have a picture of his nature. Now you say, but Gene, yes, you have his nature. Yes, I have his nature. But even the fallen man can tell you something of God if he had the wisdom to, because he was made in the reflection, in the mold of God. Therefore, I dare to look at God. And what do I see? I see many things. First of all, there was no plants. There was no matter. There was nothing visible. Brothers, there wasn't anything invisible. There wasn't seen, and there wasn't anything unseen. There wasn't the physical, and there wasn't the spiritual. There was not the realm of dimension and the realm of non-dimension. There was God. Now then, for that reason, you must say there was only one thing, and it was the only thing that was real, because it was the only thing. Therefore, you say, before the beginning, God was reality. All right, we know he was reality, right? He says he was truth. He was real. He was reality. All right, he also existed. Therefore, what was he? He was life. Which life? Would you say he was the highest life? No. He was the only life. He was life. And though it is very difficult for us to comprehend, nothing else has ever had life. What about the little bug that flies around? It doesn't have life, it has a picture of life. What does that mean, Jean? I don't know. The cow, does it have life? It does not have life. God only let it have something that kind of resemble life, that you could look at the cow and learn a little bit about God. A cow says something about God. I'm not sure what. Okay. He was life. What else was? He was light. Now, what in the world is light? Well, brothers, I'll put it another way, but it's not that. I'm going to use a word, but it's not that. It's the closest word to it. What do you get when you get the Lord's light? Can you, huh? You get revelation. You get illumination.
Free opening.
You get, yes, a sense of liberation and freedom. The closest word I can come to it is you get knowledge. But it's not knowledge because it's deep within and you don't even comprehend it. You're only impressed with it. So I will put it this way. He was the only illumination, the only knowledge. He was the only consciousness. That's a vague term. So I can't tell you what light is. I'll just leave light. Well, brothers, I would like to just have you look at God. Like the one. Two other things I want to tell you about the Lord.
There was one other thing that he was and is. But there are two things I'm going to tell you about him.
Can we imagine him as a great illumination?
I don't know how to imagine God before the beginning. I don't know what to conceive.
But I see a light too big for me to see the edges of.
I see nothing but brightness. So bright. The only way you can really see brightness is to see it in contrast to something. Even the sun, if you've ever dared try to look straight at it, about all you can see and know that you've looked at the sun is you get the outer edge, the reflection of the outer edge of it. When you look straight at it, you can't see it. I don't know if you understand what I mean. You only see the edge of it.
Well, there was just so much that is light. He was light.
Brothers, he was living a consciousness.
There is something of awesome awesomeness about this one.
He was one.
Not only one, he was alone. There wasn't anything else but him.
Just a little further.
He was one. He was alone. He was utterly alone. He could speak with himself. He could counsel with himself, but he was eternally alone.
Two more things.
I don't think you've ever had this thought.
He was young.
Don't you think he was old? That's a religious conception that's got to go. He was a young man. Or if you please, he was a young God.
He is quite young. He is not affected by time, and he has not grown old.
Will you allow me to say he was young? May I say that? God was young. How old is he? Do you know how old he is? Brothers, I can tell you, no matter what measurement you put upon him, the oldest that you can make God, the absolute oldest that you can make him, is 33 years old. Because before he touched time by becoming literally part of it, he was young. And when he left it, he became ageless again. I want you to know that the God who made you, and the God you serve, and the God you love, is young.
There was one other thing about him.
He was not only young and alone. Down there in the depths of his being, he was something else. I cannot call him the incarnation of it. He was the essence of it. Whatever it was, that's he. Whatever he is that.
there was one thing God was, and God is the only one who is this. He's the only one who has it, but it's not has, because it is God himself. You have known God as a God of power, great, but I want you to know that no matter how powerful you may understand the power of God, this element pulsated in him with the greatness of that power behind it. There was one other thing he was. God. Pulsating deep within this being whom I cannot comprehend, but I am the only one as a man, or mankind are the only ones. I am the only one, because I am a man, of all his creatures who could vaguely comprehend that beating deep in the very being of God. Is a God of intense passion. He is a passionate God. He from here on, I'm lost. Because I am a living soul. From here on, you're lost. God was love. God is love. But don't you dare go back to kindergarten now. Stay with me, would you? I'll use any instrument in my hands to get this point over. If your spirit can be touched, hallelujah. I am a living soul. And nothing that I say beyond this will be true. It will only be pictorial words. Because when God created me, he created me with a comprehension of love. But actually, he didn't. He created me with a comprehension of the picture of love. Let me see if I can explain that a little clearer. There are only two creatures in the universe who loved. Only two. Well, I know that you have dolls, some of you. Very affectionate puppy. He comes and jumps up in your lap, and he goes, I know, I've had lots of dogs, and he'll come and he'll lick your face, and he just looks for all the world like he loves you. That's a big lie. He does not love you. He does not comprehend love, and he never expresses love. There's only two things dogs interested in. Number one is he's interested in eating. You just follow him and watch him come in the room, the house, no matter what time of the day or night. First thing he does is go to his bowl and sniff of it. When you eat, he has one fault. He just watches with all his being. He watches the food. Now, he has one other thing that he's interested in, and that's playing, and that's all. He'll play with you all day long. And the only thing he ever wants out of you is to be petted or played with. He wants to just have fun. That's all he can comprehend. But a man can fix your love. I would say a man can love. Man can fix your love. That's one word. There's a hyphen there. P-I-C-T-U-R-E hyphen L-O-V-E. He can picture love. He can express
the tide of God's law. What is the difference between these two creatures who can express and comprehend love? One is man, the other is God. Man's love is on the level of his soul. God is a spirit, and his love is on the level of the spirit. From here on, I will talk to you about this matter, but I will have to use human words that express the soul. Things that I can comprehend. I comprehend the picture. I cannot comprehend the reality. But God is spirit, and true law is not in the soul, it is not in the body, nor is it experienced there, nor known there. It is known in the spirit. Which love is the stronger? Which is more powerful? That which is the picture love of man located in the soul, of the reality love that is located in the very inner being of God. You have to say, God's passion is greater than man. Then you won't understand anything beyond this.
But I will tell you this. If you can get any kind of understanding of it, it will be enough, brothers and sisters, to alter us forever. I want you to go back and look at God and know that he is all alone. And yet there is a paradox in God.
Remember, I am speaking now in pictures, and I don't even know what I'm talking about. And don't you try to comprehend what I'm talking about.
God is filled with love. There is within him the constant consuming passion of love. And it's there that there isn't any place for it to break forth. God is alone. He is
a he. And he is love. He is alone.
And he has been that way through all eternity.
Brother, one day God had an idea that is so natural to you, what I'm about to say will not even impress you. But the day, the non-day, that God had this idea, you can be sure it was revolutionary. You and I are so used to this that there's just nothing to it. One day, one long day, God had an incredible, staggering idea. It flowed out of the very need of his being. God had the idea of a counterpart. God had the idea of a counterpart. God had the idea of a she
Please say wow.
A divine creature other than God.
Upon whom the intensity of this infinite being, with all the incomprehensible power that is divinity, can gush forth a torrential love. Praise Allah. Yet he was God, and by nature he was one he could not beat. What should we be?
Frankly, I'm not clear till this minute how he solved the problem. All I can tell you is, in order to solve it, he had to create a universe. And I can tell you what he needed. He needed another creature. A non-creature. He needed an eternal being that had his nature. Yep. And his life. And his light.
And his reality that was made of exactly what he was made of. And yet was both separate from him and the same as he. Different from him, but one with him. Paradox of his being brought him to this problem. The paradox of his love and the paradox of his oneness. Brothers, I want you to know God's very Allah. He was passionate, he was young, and he had the idea of a counterpart. But he was a one. What's he gonna do? Something marvelous. So that he can let that love tear loose from his endless being and fall in passion upon his lightness. Brothers, from this motivation came the creation, the heavens, the earth, man, fall, redemption, you, me, the church, and God's eternal purpose. If it's real, it is true, and it is his passion. Brothers, God began to create. The very first thing he created was the unseen.
Now, what is the unseen?
The heavens. Are the heavens real?
Are they real?
Burial.
Are they seen? The heaven, the third heaven, is it seen?
Does it have any weight? Is there matter involved in it?
But is it real? Well, yes, it's there. It's in a locatable place somewhere, in a dimension of the spiritual. The first thing God created was the unseen universe. What did he create within that universe and the heavens? He created the angels. And they were living creatures. And they had everlasting life. They did not have eternal life, but they had everlasting life. What started, they cannot end. Okay. Then God moved to the seen world. What is the first thing he created in the seen world? Well, I'll tell you, because I'm not sure you can follow what I'm saying. He created that which was not alive. That which was only matter. Okay?
Now, brothers, he begins to create that which is seen and alive.
I can't explain what I'm telling you. Just get it somewhere in here, would you?
That which is unseen
can it reproduce?
Can it be too?
All that is not seen is one. The Lord told us that the angels do not marry nor give in marriage. That which is unseen is very much like God in his present condition.
Did you understand that?
I don't think you understood that.
His present condition.
He was one and he was alone.
And there was no counterpart.
And that was his present condition.
And everything that is unseen is like that. Now, why?
I ask you to do something you did before. Go home and pray. And consider before the Lord and tell us, brother, why in the unseen realm
there cannot be a counterpart.
I know.
Brothers, he then began to create the seen. He created the seen universe, S-E-E-N. And in the seen universe, he created first what was not alive. But then he began creating that which was alive.
And brothers, when he did it, I want you to know, in so doing, he pictured his very nature. He pictured his very divine nature. Now I ask you, what was the first thing living God created? Vegetable. I ask you, some of you are going to have to really scratch for this. Can vegetable life reproduce itself? Yeah.
Does it have a counterpart?
Much of it does, my brother.
Much of it does. I don't know my biology very well, but it can reproduce, and much of it has a counterpart. There is even male and female in the vegetable world. But I want you to know that the purpose of the vegetable was not to show this. It was to show the life and the reproduction of that life. How is that possible that this could show forth God when this was not God's present status?
For couple,
God isn't like this. God is like this. You can't peg a place where God is.
Brothers, that's all I can say. We go on. The next life was the life of the sea. Does the life of the sea have a counterpart? Yes. Then the life of the air, does it have a counterpart?
Then the life of the tree, the life of the land, on the land. It's getting higher. We now have the dog and the cat and the oxen. Do they have consciousness? Do they have reproduction? Can they be two? Do they have a counterpart?
Is there a Mr. and a Mrs.?
And this shows forth God. It may not show forth God as he is, but it shows forth God as he wishes to be. For God power of this passion. For he was.
He comes now to create the highest of all created beings.
What is it?
Man.
Now, brothers, what is the highest created being of earth? What is the highest created being of heaven?
Angels. In a way, they vie for contention, for second place. Which is higher, an angel or a man? Which is higher, a man or an angel?
They vie.
They vie. One has everlasting life, one has temporal life. The everlasting angel is now ahead of the man. But one was created in the image of God, and the other one was not. Now, they're tied.
Brothers, sisters, one's got to get up.
One is seeing and one is unseen. God reaches down in the dirt, the particular dirt he reached into that day was red. He took the dirt and he fashioned. And he worked. And he concentrated on every emotion he had. And he poured that emotion into man in tithe form. He poured the physical strength. He poured everything of his likeness into that red dirt. and he brought him forth out of the soil. And that man could look straight in the face of God, who was invisible except that he was light. And I believe man, though visible, was clothed in light. I can't prove it, but I believe it. And man looked at God and comprehended him. He felt what God felt in a smaller way. He sensed what God sensed in a smaller way. He had the sense and feeling of God. Now, there are three high forms of life in the universe. Three. The highest, visible or invisible? Huh? Invisible. The second one, visible or invisible? Invisible. The third one, visible or invisible?
Visible.
Now listen.
Was God one
and alone?
The angels, were there one or many? Could they reproduce?
No.
Could they love? Absolutely not.
Could they comprehend God?
Only His glory. His glory. I want you to know the devil is called high and dry. All he knows is God's glory. And he is banished from that.
There is a pitiful creature.
There is a third form. But before I come to that life, I have to start at the bottom and work all the way up again. The fish, are they one or two? They have a counterpart. The birds, do they have a counterpart?
Yeah.
The animals, do they have a counterpart? Does the angel have a counterpart? No, they're all exactly alike. And they're spirits.
They're neuter.